So Living Free, Tim Hollis in the video announced that this is our theme for 2020, Living Free. And I won't go through all the mechanics of it, but if you've been here in the last couple of Sundays, you've heard me say each and every Sunday that the Lord is moving us in this direction, but he told us don't rush into it. There are some preparatory things that need to happen. The 21 days of fasting was one of them. And also this series that we're in, this series that we call Knowing God as Holy Spirit. This is the fourth and final message in this series. We started on the 5th of January with a message about introducing Holy Spirit. We looked at the upper room discourse, the very words of Jesus in John 14, 15, and 16, and his promises of who he was going to send to comfort, to help, to be our advocate, to come alongside us, to work within us, Holy Spirit. 2 weeks ago, we talked about relating to Holy Spirit. We found in that message that we're able to relate because the Holy Spirit, like us, has a soul, he has a mind, he has a will, and he has emotions. And therefore, we should not hesitate to relate, to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Last week, we talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to encourage you today when we get into this message, it won't quite make total sense if you don't put it in the proper context of everything that we've talked about. So this online, you can go back and listen to any message that you missed. But I want to start today with just sharing with you a story that Robert Morris, pastor of Gateway Church, wrote in his book, The God I Never Knew. Listen to his words as he writes about an experience that he had. I'm going to read it so I can make sure I get it right. He starts with, D.L. Moody was a great evangelist that he heard a lot about in Bible school. Quotes and anecdotes about Moody were shared by his professors. The official position of the school that he attended was that the power of the Holy Spirit was only for first century Christians. It was taught that the Holy Spirit stopped baptizing people back in the days of Peter and Paul. Yet Moody was consistently held up before students as a shining example of an effective preacher and evangelist, and rightly so. Are any of you familiar with D.L. Moody? Raise your hands if you are. If you did not raise your hand, Google him. I think you can still find information about it on Google. Google is a wonderful thing. Let me keep on going. In the late 1800s, Moody was the pastor of a church in Chicago which met in a rented room. He thought he was doing pretty well in ministry, but eventually, now get this, two elderly Free Methodist women in his congregation, Auntie Cook and Mrs. Snow, began to pray for Moody to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or as they described it, to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. When these prayer warriors told him what they'd been asking God to do in his life, he thanked them for their prayers, but tactfully explained that he had received all the Holy Spirit there was to get when he was saved. According to Moody, as these women tenaciously continued to pray for him, he began to realize that he didn't have much in the way of supernatural power operating in his ministry. At least not the kind that was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that he saw in ordinary Christians in Acts 2, where power was imparted to people and they became a witness for Jesus. Moody ultimately came to the conclusion that he indeed lacked another baptism. He began praying for it, and he also asked the two women if they would pray with him to receive an outpouring of God's power. Not long afterwards, God answered the cry of D.L. Moody. His friend R.A. Torrey described it like this. Moody had been invited to preach in England, and for a few days before his ship was scheduled to depart, he was in New York City. One day he was taking a walk when something remarkable happened. He was walking up Wall Street in New York, and in the midst of the hustle and hurry of that city, his prayer was answered. The power of God fell upon him as he walked up the street, and he had to hurry off to the house of a friend and ask that he might have a room by himself. And in that room, he stayed alone for hours. And the Holy Ghost came upon him, filling his soul with such joy that at last he had to ask God to withhold his hand, lest he die on the spot from the very joy that he was being filled with. He went out from that place with the power of the Holy Ghost upon him. And when he got to London, the power of God wrought through him mightily in North London, and hundreds were added to the churches as a result of his preaching. Now, even if the great evangelist D.L. Moody struggled with the reality of multiple baptisms that the Bible teaches about, I can assure you and comfort you, it's not surprising that many Christians struggle with the same truth. As a matter of fact, I know some of you in here and like thinking, okay, where are we going today? He's talking about stuff like baptism in the Holy Spirit, which is the title of this message today. Let me assure you, it's not as bad and it's not as hard as it might seem. Okay, so when I was talking about Moody, I mentioned Acts 2. And today I simply want to point to three passages of scripture that talks about these baptisms in different levels. Acts 2, Acts 8, and Acts 19. If you have a Bible, turn, you know, get yourself ready. We're going to be in Acts 2, Acts 8, and Acts 19. And I can tell you that I won't be the only one presenting this word to us today. I've got some friends going to come and help me. So I got to get on with the get on because I got to leave room for them. But let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the season that we're in, Lord. We thank you that you have been impressing upon our hearts to lean into the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. It's been a rich time, Father. My life has been impacted and changed, and I trust that others have as well. This morning, as we bring this series to a close, I pray that you protect us from any scheme of the enemy to try to distort or discredit anything that's written in your word. I pray, Father, you give us open hearts and minds. Let us hear and let us have the courage to move in the way that you will cause us and lead us to move. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so let's look closer at these passages, starting with Acts number 2. Let me give you context. This is what we know as Pentecost. Peter has delivered a sermon. Immediately after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, many people came to know Jesus in that day. And in response to his preaching, a number of listeners fall under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And this is what they say, starting at verse number 37. They say, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? That's a powerful question right there. What shall we do in response to what the Holy Spirit has done and what the Word of God says? What shall we do? Remember that question. We're going to come back to it at the end of this message today. Well, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. I would simply say that a lot of people say that that's the only time that the Holy Spirit, anybody was baptized in the Holy Spirit. But if you look at that closely, he says the promise is for you and your children and all who are far off and for all whom the Lord our God will call. Did he call you? Did he call you? Then this is for us. I'll prove it later on and let's begin to the message. In this short response, Peter outlines three responses, or three baptisms, if you will. First, repent. This is the vital primary step in the baptism of salvation. The way this works is Jesus baptized, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into Jesus. We don't come to Jesus because we just got it all figured out. The Holy Spirit convicts us and leads us and let us know that we need a Savior. Did he let you know you needed a Savior? And that one day, at some point in your life, you surrendered your life to him. That's repentance. The second is to be baptized. Peter urged his listeners to follow Jesus' example in water baptism. We're going to talk more about that later. And the third, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is what we call the third baptism. As Peter indicates here, the Holy Spirit will not force himself upon anyone. He must be received. We must desire him, and he must be received. Now, the activities on the day of Pentecost is not the only time that we see three distinct and clear baptisms laid out in Scripture. In Acts 8, did you get Acts 8? You got Acts 8? We're ready to go to Acts 8? Here, to context, the evangelist Philip is preaching and teaching in Samaria, and a revival breaks out. Many people are healed, delivered from demonic oppression. They're saved. And then now pick me up at verse number 12. Look what happens here. And when these people believe, when they believe Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Acts 8:12. Two of the three baptisms is found in this one verse. They believed. You know what that means, right? They were saved. They believed. They came to salvation. Then they were baptized in water. That's two. But Derek, you keep talking about this three. Where's the third one at? Keep on reading. Verses 14 and 16 through 16. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, notice what the passage doesn't say. Now, I'm going to date myself here, and some of you are going to get dated with me. It doesn't tell us that when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, that they rushed over and sent Peter and John down to give them the right hand of fellowship. Anybody know anything about the right hand of fellowship? Y'all ain't grew up in a black church. All right, but anyway. I mean, it's just something, yeah, the right hand of fellowship. After someone is saved, the church gives them the right hand of fellowship, welcoming into the body of Christ. And Peter and John, they didn't go down to Samaria to do that. That's not what they went to do. But before I move on, let me make a comment about that. Even though you might not have grown up in that faith, that's what a lot of us believe, that once saved and water baptized, we have everything we need to live the Christian life. But the truth is this, my friends. Without receiving the Holy Spirit, you know what we're setting ourselves up for? We're setting ourselves up to live a powerless and defeated life of minimal effectiveness in this kingdom. Now, don't get me wrong. Saved, place in heaven is secure. Baptized, yes. There's something spiritual that happens at baptism. But without that baptism in the Holy Spirit, we left without all that's at our disposal to live this life and to affect others. Now, by the way, I want to dispel something. Some people will argue till they're blue in the face that being baptized in the Holy Spirit only occurred on the day of Pentecost. But I want to point out to you that this that we're just talking about in Acts 8 happened way after Pentecost. By the way, Peter and John didn't leave them in this state. Look at verse 17. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. That's the third. That's the third. These events in Samaria occurred months, or some theologians says even years after Pentecost happened. And just in case you're saying, well, that's twice, that, you know, that was way back then, it wasn't the last time we see this in Acts. If we turn to Acts 19, many years after the Pentecost outpouring, we hear about Paul on his missionary journeys, especially in Ephesus. Look at verse 1 of Acts 19. When Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" These are disciples. These are believers. Paul doesn't seem to have any doubt in his mind that someone can come to saving faith in Jesus Christ yet not receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's why he asked the question. Paul knew that a person can be baptized by the Spirit into Christ yet not be baptized by Jesus into the Holy Spirit. Now, if you think that I'm just making this up, keep on reading with me. Look at the response of the believers. They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Just like some of us were at some point in our lives. Well, we didn't even know anything really about the third person of the Trinity. Paul checks to see if they were actually saved. Verses 3 through 6. So Paul asks, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. That last part of that last verse is one of the enemy's, you know, he'd been playing that trick for years and years and years. He'd get us focusing on tongues and prophesying, and then we say, oh, I don't want none of that. That stuff right there, I don't want any of that. But it's in the Bible. And if it's in the Bible, I think it's very important that we pay close attention to it. You know, the danger of preaching a message like this is that outside of the whole counsel, it can get distorted. These gifts, as we talked about last week, are gifts that God desires for us to have, not for my benefit, not for my glory, but for the glory of his kingdom and for the edification and manifestation of God in the lives of others. We all, if you're believing in Christ, these gifts are, I will even go as far as to say, they may be laying dormant in you, waiting for the opportunity, the time when you need them, when God will bring them up, and you'll be able to operate in these gifts. Anybody agree with that? Say amen if you are. Okay, good. Now I just want to simply talk about these three baptisms. I want to start with salvation. Say, what is that? Baptized in Jesus. You're saved. We become a new person when that happens. It's a miraculous work of grace. These scriptures are not on the screen. You might have to write these down. I encourage you to do so. You know, Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, that this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. We can't argue about 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. Isn't that our story? Was our story when we finally surrendered to Jesus Christ? The old was gone. There was a new creation, not a reconstituted, warmed up Derek. It was a brand new Derek. It was a brand new year because we were baptized in Jesus Christ. We were saved. Water baptism. Another work of grace. Of course, being baptized in water does not save us. Amen? I need to make sure you hear that and agree with that. It doesn't save us. Rather, it's the act of being immersed in water is symbolic in an outward way of what has happened to us inwardly. It symbolizes the death and burial of our old sinful self and the raising up of the new creation mentioned in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Yet water baptism, I had to pause there. Every time... And I long for us to have more because I believe, if this is you, I'm talking straight to you. There are Christians who have been saved but have never had the experience of water baptism. I know your excuses. I know your reasons why. Well, you know, if I go up there, it's going to look funny. I've been serving in the church all these years. I go up there and get baptized. Don't let that stop you because there's something spiritual that happens when we obey and follow Jesus in water baptism. There's actually a spiritual thing. Every time I'm up here and baptize somebody, I wish you could be close and see the look on their face. You could see the spirit rising up in them. When I look out here, I see people weeping. I see people grinning and shouting. I see people getting happy. There's something that happens in the spiritual realm at water baptism. And if you never had that experience, I invite you to let somebody know you need to have it, and we'll start doing it. I almost want to go take the top off of it and do it right now. But that's all right. Amen? Did you know that water baptism is a representation of a new covenant counterpart to the circumcision in the Old Testament? You say, well, Derek, that's a stretch. Colossians 2, 11 through 12 says this, in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Baptized in Jesus, we become a new person. Baptized in water, the old person is cut off. Baptized in the Holy Spirit, we receive power to walk in newness of life. My good friend, our good friend, Patty Kelly, is going to come now and share some things that God has laid on her heart. Will you welcome Patty Kelly as she comes?
Thank you. It's so great to be able to talk about my favorite subject. Billy Graham said, to live victorious lives as men and women, we need two things: the Son of God who died for us, and the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And to me, it's when we are first saved, we are so excited about Jesus that we want to go and tell everyone about our salvation. And it's because I believe when we're first saved, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, and it's alive in us. But over time, if we don't develop a relationship, if we don't spend time with the Holy Spirit and get to know Him, then we grieve the Holy Spirit, and some of our passion and energy can start to fade. I have an analogy I like to compare, and it's, imagine if you bought a house, and the house came with a helper, but no one told you. So every now and then you get glimpses of this helper, and you don't know who he is, but he's not bothering anything. He's on the edge of the property, maybe. And so you just go about your business until one day there's a storm, and it knocks down trees, and now you really need help. Well, that helper is there. So you say, hey, I've got this mess. Could maybe you help me clean this up? And of course he does, and he's a great advocate, and he helps you. And you thank him, and you go on about taking care of your own business until one day you have a mess in your house. And so now you ask again, hey, I've seen you, you know, would you mind coming in maybe and helping me on the inside of my house? And when he does, you see again that he's for you. He's your advocate. He's your helper. And slowly but surely, you develop this relationship where you may let him in on Sundays, spend time with him on Sundays. But once you really get to know him and realize all of the things that he does in the life of a believer, you get to where you never want him to leave. That's an analogy that kind of describes my walk. I knew about the Holy Spirit, but I didn't realize until I started looking for the Holy Spirit in the Word, all of the things that He does for us. And I got to the point where I just wanted more and more of Him. And so I started searching the Bible, and I saw the impact He had on the disciples, that the boldness, they started preaching with boldness and with power because the Holy Spirit had come to them. And I realized that the presence of God on the earth today is the Holy Spirit living in you and I. It's the power and presence of God on the earth today. And if we want that power to overcome, the power to love our enemies, the power to break strongholds, then we need the Holy Spirit. And if we want that passion, the passion for Christ, the passion to share the gospel, the passion to help others, we need the Holy Spirit. So I started seeking more, like a deeper faith, more purpose, more perseverance, more passion for the things of God, more effective ministry, more victories. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, and He is all of the more that we as Christians are looking for. So every day, every night before I go to bed, I pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And every morning when I wake up, before I ever get out of bed, I pray, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me pour out in the life of others today. And Jesus said, if you're my believers, rivers of living water will flow from within you. That is a constant, pour it in, Lord, and let me pour it out on behalf of others. So one of the great examples that we have is Paul. Paul had every reason to be on his knees in prayer. He was in prison multiple times. He was flogged. He was exposed to death again and again. He was pelted with stones, Three times he was shipwrecked, spent an entire night at sea. He was in danger from all sides, but yet he was victorious. He says that he was hard pressed, but he was not crushed. Isn't that what we want? He was perplexed, but not in despair. He was persecuted, but not abandoned. And he was struck down, but not destroyed. So if you look in Ephesians 3, Paul had every reason to pray, but there was one thing. This is one of my favorite verses. I think it's absolutely beautiful. There's one thing that got Paul on his knees. It's the only time he says he got on his knees in prayer. And if you look at Ephesians 3, he says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, and I pray that out of his glorious riches, he will strengthen you." Don't we all want the strength that Paul had? He said, I pray that he will strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. It's the Holy Spirit in your inner being that gives you the power that Jesus promised. And then he gives all of the so that's. Why does he want to give us the power in our inner being? What does that do for us? So that you may dwell in Christ in your hearts through faith, that you may be rooted and established in love, that you may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. When I look at that and say, when we allow the Holy Spirit in our inner being, when we let him into our house, we have the faith of Christ in Christ. We have knowledge of the love. We can grasp the love for the first time. And we know the love that surpasses knowledge, and then we are filled to the measure. So when Derek invites us, you know, to come to the altar, I want to come and I want to be filled and I want to flow out and I want everyone in this room to be filled to the full measure, to be continually filled. I want revival in my life, my family, my church, my community, and our nation. And I believe the only way that happens is by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I really appreciate Derek covering the Holy Spirit for the month of January. It has excited and gladdened the spirit within me, and I thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Patty. Thanks. Appreciate it. I think you're a little passionate about this subject, aren't you? Yes, she is. So as I was thinking about this message today, God led me to just contact some people that I know, and this other person that's coming up. I've been on a journey myself over the last several years, and if I could point to one person who has helped me so much in receiving the Holy Spirit, it's this brother right here. You might know him as the voice at 107.7, the truth, but I know him as my brother Brian. Brian, would you please welcome Brian Height?
Thank you so much. What an honor to be up here with Derek and with Patty, and as they were preaching, I was thinking, gosh, I don't want to mess anything up. I just want to leave it with, they've done such a good job. But I'll take a little bit different track, if that's all right. I just want to say a few things, some distinctions about the baptisms. First off, I love that Derek included the first baptism. The baptism in Jesus is probably the one we relate to the most, right? Because these days, on this side of the cross, the water baptism is sort of elective. He mentioned symbolic, and let me say a couple of things about the water baptism real quickly, though. First off, it's for you. And when your heart's ready and you come humbly, it's a baptism into that grace of God, and you get the forgiveness of sins. It's the transaction that you can't repay, right? Aren't you glad about it? Aren't you excited about that? Doesn't it, you know, just should wake you up with joy every day? You personally mean that much to God that he would make that transaction. You personally mean that much. The second thing about it is it's about repentance. It's about a penitent heart, a contrite heart. And I would say that that's everything when it comes to the kingdom of God, is the condition of your heart. We're talking about humility. We're talking about selflessness. You remember it says in Scripture that he takes from us a heart of stone and gives us a heart of
flesh.
Anybody? Everybody? Flesh, yeah, yeah. Which would you rather have, the heart of stone or the heart of flesh? And it's his work that does it in us. Amen? So, if you're a believer and you, well, let me ask you this. Even though the water baptism is symbolic for us now, raise your hand if it was a significant event in your life. Just take a moment, just look around how significant it is. None of these baptisms is less than the other. They're all important. And so I don't want to paint that picture. But I do want to move on to the baptism by fire of the Holy Spirit. It's also connected to repentance. Remember, Derek read from Acts 2 that Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So it's about repentance. So is the baptism of salvation, by the way. But the difference is that whereas the water baptism is for you, the Spirit baptism is not only for you. You're going to get blessed, right? You have a better understanding of the purpose of Jesus putting his Spirit in you. You're going to begin to know that the Holy Spirit's comfort and counsel are for others. Your spouse, your kids, your workmates, even those you come up to on the street, you might just get a sense that I'm supposed to pray for them or I'm supposed to help them in some way. We do know that's not from us, right? It's not our intellect. We're not so great-hearted that we just want to go help people. It's the compassion of Jesus Christ working its way out in us. So, one more thing about the baptism by fire. Something changes when you receive it. It's a supernatural power. And don't get me wrong, it doesn't always come instantly. A lot of people want to tell you it comes instantly, but it doesn't necessarily, because think about the disciples when Jesus breathed the power or breathed his Holy Spirit into them. There were 50 days in that upper room, scared to death, before that power was released and the gifts manifested at Pentecost. 50 days. You remember where you were 50 days ago? And then Derek read about the church at Ephesus who had heard about John's baptism, but when Paul said, you know, "Have you heard about the Holy Spirit?" And they said, no, we don't know about that one. Well, some people believe that was up to 20 years after they received this information about John's baptism before they understood anything about the Holy Spirit. And I say that because I don't want us to put a timetable on this. Perhaps you were baptized at 8 years old, John's baptism. It's not too late to understand that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for you. The release of power in your life for others is there. And don't forget it's for others. That's the important thing. But the challenge is, I just did this last week. We forget it's there, right? There's too much static in the world. Maybe we don't go to our scripture enough. Maybe we don't pray enough. And I'm not trying to make you feel shameful. I'm just, that's why I said I did it last week. We forget that the power's there. But yet, think about this. And you can do a show. Let's do a show of hands. How many in here have had something, you've either witnessed it, it's happened to you, or you participate in it, a supernatural act? Healings, words of knowledge. Can you just take a quick look around? It's real. And the people who are raising their hands, they know it's real. And yet, even though we do, we struggle and we forget sometimes. And we find ourselves battling in the flesh what should be done in the Spirit. Okay, so let me jump ahead, okay? Notice I didn't say this is how the baptism happens, because that's where we trip up. And Derek mentioned how the enemy can use tongues and prophecy and different gifts to get in the middle of us and separate us. I don't want that to happen. I think most agree that you receive God's Spirit when you receive Him as a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, the problem is that we can stop learning right there. Now, when you were baptized into Christ, or in John's baptism, did you know everything there is to know about Jesus? You still don't know. That's our amen. I'm 30 years into mine, and I could pick up the Bible and find something new today. Well, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is like that too. We might receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it might take us a while to, through Scripture, through prayer, through the teaching of others, to really see the power released. And so we shouldn't feel like we have to force it. We just need to remember that it's there. The thing, why do we need the power? Well, Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, rejected Satan in the desert. What if he hadn't? The disciples spoke in foreign tongues, and not a single one of them was a preacher, but yet over 3,000 were added that day. What if they hadn't? And lame men and women have cast out unclean spirits. I've seen it happen. The lame walk, the blind see. If you haven't seen a miracle, but you're holding out for one, keep holding out because it happens. Keep praying. I've heard it said this way, you know, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, but we leak. And that's why we have to pray continuously, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And now I just want to encourage you, since there's not a perfect way to do it, some people get the baptism in this order. I did not. I got mine out of order. But when I look at Scripture, so did some people in Scripture. And so let's not hold ourselves to it. One, two, three, it has to go this way. Be available to the Holy Spirit. So here's the way to do it. Y'all be patient with me. I can't say this is the only way to do it. This is the way I would suggest you do it. And since we're about to go to a time of prayer, this might be for you. I hope it is. Tell God you're ready to be others-oriented. He's got you. You're His. You're adopted sons and daughters of the Most High God. So the people that you come across, they might not be yet. They might not understand it yet. So ask God to help you be others-oriented. Call for some elders to lay hands on you and pray with you. But keep in mind, it's not them to pray it into you. You're going to need to ask. Ask Jesus to breathe the fresh anointing of His Holy Spirit into you. Ask Him to release the power that He intended for you to have from the very beginning. Now, Derek could pray it over us, and it would be a beautiful prayer and a powerful prayer, but he knows and I know that that's not the same as us asking to receive it. And so when you ask, believe without doubting that the God who offers forgiveness in the water is eager to give His sons and daughters spiritual fire, power that's for the wholeness of His creation, the right gifts at the right time in the right place for the love of mankind and for the glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
Can you see that happening? Can you imagine it happening? If it hasn't already, it's not too late. And just real quickly, I didn't really expect to be up here. I don't desire to do this. Like, well, you may not desire to do it, but you're stuck with it, aren't you? You do such a great job, and it takes so much work for Derek and others to do this, but I'm here because the Lord told me something about quenching of the Holy Spirit or grieving the Holy Spirit. What happens if we don't receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Well, can you imagine yourself wrapping a nice gift, something very special for the person that you want to give it to? And you give it to them, and you're just waiting on them to open it. But they say, thank you, and they just put it on their desk. And it worries you a little bit, but you walk off, and then you come back in a week or two, and that gift's still there, unopened. Wouldn't it start to grieve you a little bit? Something that you had picked out, very special for them for that moment, and they won't open it. And now imagine all the gifts of the Holy Spirit Derek preached on last week. and a pile of gifts out there, totally unopened. Let's not grieve him that way. And so invite the Holy Spirit. It's to your benefit, it's for others' benefit, and it's to God's glory. He wants you to have it. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brian. Mm-hmm. So I told you we would come back to that initial question. What shall we do? What shall we do after hearing the testimonies and the message that's been intertwined through the testimonies? What shall we do? You know, God laid upon my heart, you know, I don't know when it was, sometime in 2019, that we need to start this year off just focusing on His Holy Spirit. And I wish, no, I don't wish it. You know, it would be neat if I could tell you, oh, 20 years ago, you know, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. No, that's not the case. I've been on a search. I've been on a journey. I was trying to do it all by myself. I got a little pride working, you know. But in the last year, as He said, it doesn't always happen instantaneously. It doesn't happen right away. But it amused me sometimes when people see me and say, man, something has happened to you. Or, you know, I could tell what they're thinking. I didn't know if you were going to be ready to do this job, but I see you really coming into it. Can I tell you, it's not me. It wasn't me. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. I had to get broken there. I just had to say, Father, if this is real, I need you. Because I could not do it by myself. I had to humble myself and ask for help. And you know what? He answered my cry. And He continues to answer that call. I love what Patty said. Every night before she go to bed, every morning when she gets up. And for an old boy like me from Mississippi, I had to do it all during the day. Amen. Holy Spirit, come. Feel me. The band is going to come out, and they're going to start playing a tune that you're familiar with. Prayer warriors are going to come up to the altars and be prepared to pray with people. And I would say our response, well, you know, what do we do? Well, it's multiple responses here in a room like this. There's no doubt in my mind that somebody in here, you know, the best thing you could do is simply say, Lord, I surrender to your will. I believe that you died for my sins, and I invite you to live in my life. You need to be saved. Today is the day of salvation. There's some others in here. Every time we got to talking about water baptism, you got a little uncomfortable. It wasn't because we were heaping guilt on you. It was because the Holy Spirit was saying, I want to give you something. Why don't you just come? Don't be worried about what people are going to think. Let somebody know, I want to be baptized. I tell you, there is something happens in the spiritual realm that will happen in your life that is not happening now just because you follow Jesus in baptism. And then there are others of us, and I say of us, that we just need to ask, Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Baptize me in the Holy Spirit.